The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, I've had compassion on my mind lately. Probably I should say on my heart, but... And so I'll say a few things about it. It's a beautiful, beautiful aspect of the heart or of human beings, is the ability to meet each other with compassion, to have the kind of caring for each other and empathy for each other and certain kind of acceptance of each other that holds each other, receives each other with a kind, caring attention. And I think the world needs a lot more compassion, that kind of care. And it's one of the great ideals of Buddhism, is the idea of developing, cultivating compassion, coming into the world, expressing our compassion in the world. And but then the question is, how do we develop compassion? How do we make compassion more available or more place more from where we come from? And how do we do it in a way that is not artificial or artificially sweet or contrived in a way that's not really sincere? And how do we do it in such a way that we're not afraid of doing it? Some people are afraid of compassion. They're reluctant. They feel like if I'm compassionate, I won't really see clearly what's there. I'll be naive. If I'm compassionate, then I open my heart, my house to people who are going to take advantage of me, or it's going to be too difficult for me. Or if I'm compassionate, then I won't be realistic, and I won't have the proper boundaries with other people. So, how is it that we develop compassion? How do we make it more part of our life? And one of the, I think, really important ways is not to do it directly, not to directly kind of wind yourself up and be compassionate, but rather create the conditions where you're more likely to be compassionate. And there are conditions that you can do where if you do these things, then it's much more likely that your heart will, your empathy will respond. So one of the simple things is to be present for people, to be mindful attention to be for others, and take them in and be present and get to know them. And often the simple being present, being open, paying attention, if the situation warrants compassion, it'll come forth. But if we stay too, if we're busy or distracted, or keep on a kind of a surface banter with the person and not really grokking the person, taking in the person fully, then there's not going to be much space for compassion. But if we calmly, fully take it in, the person. And it can be as simple as standing in the line, a checkout counter at the supermarket. I can see in myself that there's different ways that I can be there, and there's ways I can be there where, I'm mostly focusing on getting out of there and hardly notice the clerk. Or there's ways of being there where I stand on both feet, and it's my intention to really be there, present for the clerk as well. Sometimes the clerk doesn't notice me. That's okay, but I'm kind of taking the person in. And it doesn't take a lot of time to get a sense or a feeling or let someone really register. But it takes attention. It takes intent. And so to be present with intent, to be present with intention, with attention. Our compassion is much more likely to be evoked. And then you can go further in getting to know people. You can ask questions. You can find out what's going on for them. And you can ask simple questions that aren't too probing to find out how are they. And they'll let you know, perhaps. And as you know people more deeply, what's going on for them, your compassion might arise. It's a very useful thing sometimes with difficult coworkers. If you have difficulty with them, you can maybe see them only through the filter of the difficulty you have. you know, that terrible person, that person's a schmuck, or, you know, that person is, you know. But then, for some reason, you end up in the snack area together, and you have a conversation, you say, what's going on with you these days? And they go through a litany. Well, my wife is dying, and my father is in hospice care, and my, you know, and, you know, go through, my kids have leukemia. and suddenly, you know, you say, wow, you know, now I understand maybe why the person's been the way they are. Or maybe now, in spite of the person being kind of a jerk, you know, you're willing to kind of soften a little bit around the person, make some space and become more accepting, have some compassion. So trying to get to know the person, find out a person is a really good thing. So it's not like you have to become compassionate, but compassion is more likely to happen if you do that kind of homework as part of it. The other thing that can be really supportive for the arising of compassion is that you feel safe. And it's very hard to feel compassion if you don't feel safe. So then the question is, how do you best feel safe? And sometimes the environment situation is not safe, and maybe you have to get out of it. Sometimes you have to change what's going on in the environment. Someone's yelling at you and you say, I don't feel safe when you yell at me. Can you stop? Or something. But sometimes, in terms of the practice, safety has a lot to do with what goes on in your own mind. Your own fears, anxieties, concerns, projections. And there's some inner work that you can do that helps you feel safer. So in anxiety, if you're anxious a lot, it's hard to be compassionate. But anxiety is mostly about the inner work, resolving something. Because anxiety, as opposed to fear, anxiety is said to be mostly about the imagination, imaginations of the future, what might happen. And to be caught up in the world of what might happen because you're anxious, is not that healthy or helpful. So to feel safe by resolving and taking a careful look at our anxiety is important. The other condition that supports the arising of compassion is to spend a fair amount of time becoming familiar with all the obstacles you have to feeling compassion. So that's not, that might seem like bad news. You're supposed to be compassionate, right? But are you afraid to open up? Are you certain attachments, the things you're attached to that you don't want to, that gets in the way of feeling compassion? Is there self-preoccupation? Are you really caught up in yourself too much? When you're in relationship to other people, is your focus mostly on yourself and not on the other person? And that keeps the compassion from being evoked. Do you walk around with a fair amount of resentment or jealousy or anger? Do you feel like life is a competition? And so, you know, all these kinds of attitudes can get in the way. And so by being mindful of these things, these obstacles, and resolving them, dissolving them, understanding them, then we're more likely to be compassionate when a situation where compassion is called for, because those things have been taken care of in some way. Another condition for being compassionate is being relaxed, because being tense and stressed is not a helpful condition for compassion to arise. So just being calming down, relaxing. If you want to be more compassionate, relax. Maybe you can have a little bit more control over your level of relaxation than you have over how compassionate you are. And so if you want to be compassionate, perhaps you do it indirectly by becoming calmer. Another condition that supports compassion is spending time reflecting and thinking about compassion, appreciating compassion, thinking about situations where you've been the recipient of someone's compassion and when it felt good, thinking of times when you have been compassionate and when it felt good. That if you remind yourself and consider compassion talk to friends about compassion, read books about compassion, then you're much more likely to have it close at hand. So when you come into some situation, you're more likely to be reminded about compassion or think about it. It might be a difficult situation that you're in, and suddenly some difficulty arises. And compassion, you know, you were thinking about it a couple hours earlier, so it's more likely to come as a habit to think about it. So if you would like to be more compassionate, think about it and reflect on it and read about it more, and then it'll probably arise at the right time. So the idea in saying all this is, what I'm trying to convey is that you don't have to be the passive. You don't have to be passive in regard to how much compassion you have. You don't have to leave your compassion to chance, that somehow it bumbles through your life and sometimes you're compassionate and sometimes you're not, and who knows why, it's a mystery. That you can have some say over the frequency or the presence of compassion in your life. And it's maybe hard to evoke it intentionally, just make yourself compassionate. But if it's an important quality that you would like to have more in your life, you can see what are the conditions that you can put in place so that compassion might arise more often. And you might have a lot you can do about the conditions. Is it an important enough value for you that you're willing to make other changes in your life so that compassion has a more of a chance to come forth? And what you'll probably find is that the more compassion that you feel and experience, the more it benefits you. And perhaps even that reflection about how you benefit from the compassion is another spur to kind of, pursue it more in your life. It's a beautiful thing. So those are my thoughts this morning.